Welcome into the Odds and Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Preem, Eric Scopel on the show as always. And today we have a special guest, Oregon linebacker coach Coach Brian Michalowski. Sorry, I did it. Coach Brian, how's it going? First of all, it's spring. Is it football season for you guys, or is it spring different for you guys?
Yeah. Well, first off, like I've been called Mike plenty of my life, and I kind of go by nickname B Mike. So
okay,
it's all good on that end. Spring football is a really valuable time for us, because it's development. It's a chance for us to really work on techniques, fundamentals, understanding our defense, the ins and outs, kind of give the guys a broader picture of what's going on around them, and then teach a lot of the young guys just the basics. So I always like to think about, there's a product that we're going to put out there. It's almost like you're running a restaurant and you're trying to have a five, star restaurant. Well, the meal's got to be pretty good. Well, in order to have that, top notch meal, you got to improve the ingredients, and all the ingredients is every single player right now. If they could get 1% better daily in spring ball, we're improving that final product throughout the season. So they've had a really great growth mindset. It's great competition within our, whole team, our defense, and then specifically the linebacker room as well. So, we're not quite in game mode, but we do have, these three scrimmages that we have. We're about to have our second tomorrow, and it's on Saturday, and it's in Autzen Stadium. So these guys honor that opportunity to go out in Autzen Stadium and treat it like a game. So they're excited for that.
Coach, let's talk about you real quick. You're promoted to this the linebacker coach role this offseason. You worked with the group previous year as an analyst. But just what's been the biggest adjustment, if any, for you going from analyst to now, the on-field role?
I think like working in a football office and under a head coach that I know really well, there's a lot of process that goes into this thing. And being a part of the process last year, just with the defensive staff and the involvement that I could have, I always tried to do, a little bit more, because, that's just kind of been my model in coaching. Obviously, kind of being within the analyst guidelines and rules is, of course, but kind of stepping up into this role, like the biggest difference is, right, is going out on the road recruiting and obviously having the day-to-day interaction coaching these guys through individual and obviously in meetings as well. So but it's onward with the process. It's the same process, and that consistency, that continuity that we had last year, and the good things that we did on defense, we're continuing that.
Coach, thanks again for your time and spending it with us. I'm curious on, you've been a position coach before at this level, and what was it like this time being promoted? As you said, you kind of took a shot or whatnot going from where you were before to Oregon in a non-assistant capacity. What did it feel like kind of taking that year, and how did the payoff feel when you stepped into this role this spring?
Yeah, well, I think and one thing I talked to the players about is just the old phrase that what you do in darkness always comes to light. I really believe that if you put your head down, you work, right? Good things happen. So, I was an assistant at Colorado for 3 years. And the last 2 years I've been in analyst positions, 1 year at Oregon State and 1 year here. But those years, gave me, a great opportunity to reset. You don't go out on the road recruiting. That gives you a lot more time to kind of study and, evolve yourself. So I took all the opportunities that I could within the circumstances of being an analyst and took them as growth opportunities. And I just knew that, hey, if this has kind of been my motto my entire career, but if I just do a good job in the job that I'm in, you know, good things will happen and promotions will come.
What led you to getting into coaching? What, I guess, what's your why for this profession?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I'm from Arizona, and I played high school football, but I am nowhere close to the talent of these guys that I'm coaching. I had a small Division III opportunity to play football. It was just at a school that I just didn't really want to go to. And I don't think like recruiting and how I put myself out there is where it's at now either. Right. But I was not a Division I athlete. But I took an opportunity to go, you know, down the road to my local school, which was Arizona State. So you're in a Pac, at that time, a Pac-10 program, and I was a student assistant under Dennis Erickson. You know, Oregon State's head coach now, Trent Bray, was a GA there at one point, and then the line coach, I worked with him. And then my last year there, I was a GA with our head coach, Dan Lanning. So the connections that I made, right, you know, kind of getting the door there were huge. But I, you know, I wanted to be a football coach at first because I just love football. And then when I got into college, college football and I learned the scheme, then I was like, oh man, this is really interesting to me. But what really evolved throughout my career was, I took a year and I coached, in Europe, and I coached in Germany. I was 24. I was a defensive coordinator. I had at that time 7 years college football experience. And I'm coaching these guys that don't know anything about, you know, the college schematics. So I had to, you know, kind of figure out there, like, hey, this is about being a teacher. And I really started falling in love with the teaching element of the game. And so that became more service, right? That became more, I'm serving others, right? I'm expanding knowledge of the game. And then I followed up that year with an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator at a junior college in Kansas, Garden City Community College. And that experience really showed to me that I need to be a mentor. I need to care about these young men and help them get where they want to in life. So what I really, you know, learned through those kind of 2 year opportunities was it's less about my passion for the game. It's more about serving others. And it's more, I always like to put it this way. The best coaches are two things. They're great mentors. You have to care about these guys on and off the field and where they want to go in life. And, you know, that relationship will take you and them to places where they can't go themselves. So being a great mentor and being a great teacher, being able to, you know, teach these guys the college game and what it takes to be successful so that, that they can play with ultimate confidence on game day through their knowledge. So, great coaches are great mentors, great teachers. That's my why. I want to serve these guys and I want to help them get where they want to go.
We were going to ask you about Germany. So I guess now is a perfect time to kind of pivot to that.
Sure.
What was that like? How did that help you to be the coach that you are today?
Yeah. It was, I was 24 years old. I was the coordinator for the first time. I got to create a playbook that was all stuff that I learned from other people, but was my own. So it, you know, added creativity to, you know, my kind of my thought process and how I go about business. The experience over there was a joy, just being able to be overseas and experience a culture, experience something different, take myself out of a comfort zone, grow from that. And then obviously just enjoy, you know, the passion of those players over there because they're playing football, you know, because they want to play football. I mean, it's not the biggest thing. You know, these guys have their helmet and shoulder pads on the train and they get off the train to go to football practice. It's really a unique experience for me.
You know, I have a couple of follow-ups here on Germany. First off, how's your German?
I pretty much know how to like order another beer. So that's about it. It's a harder dialect to pick up.
And I was wondering if, because obviously, you know, when you're building out recruiting pipelines, you're using places you've been. Has your connection to Cologne or Germany in general at all been advantageous for you on the recruiting trail? Or I guess theoretically, if it were that you guys were targeting like a German prospect, do you think you'd have some insights because of your time there?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've leaned in on it some in my football recruiting career. But it's all, you know, somewhat about what place you're at and does it make sense. And, but yeah, you know, there are a lot of players that have come from overseas to the United States, and we're trying to find the best. And, you know, sometimes the best can be over in Europe too.
Yeah, but maybe not all that often. I'm not sure if the game has grown quite as fast as like basketball with football, but I'd love to see a couple Germans on the Oregon team at some point.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing about those people over there, you know, they are pretty big. So there were some players when I coached over there that were, you know, looked like, you know, NFL linemen for sure.
Yeah, I remember watching. I'm a big track and field fan. I went and watched a track world championships in Berlin one summer, and their throwers look bigger than ours. So yeah, they've got some genetics over there too.
Yeah, kind of the Viking gene showing up. Yeah.
You know, you've worked with Dan at so many different places. You mentioned Arizona State, but also at Memphis and Georgia before coming out here last year. What can you say, like, maybe take us back to that year at ASU, and what do you remember about him? What do you remember about yourself and kind of that relationship and how did it kind of started?
Yeah, no, that's that takes us way back. But it was really a unique situation because I was with Dennis Erickson for six seasons. You know, he got let go after kind of a, you know, turmoil year, his last year. They brought in Todd Graham from Pitt. That's where Coach Lenning was coming from, being a GA. I was on my way up to a GA spot. He came in as a GA. That year, it went to two GAs on each side of the ball. So when that rule went into effect going into the season, I was the second GA. The thing that always has impressed me about Coach Lenning has been his work ethic. And both him and I think, you know, we're in the same foxhole with that year, working together, just having to grind it out as young coaches, you know, having to kind of lean on each other to get things done, but also, you know, somewhat compete with each other, you know, in our work ethic. And that's grown such a great respect between both of us because we know how we both work. And I think that relationship that we have from Arizona State to Memphis to Georgia, and now obviously here at Oregon, you know, there's things that he doesn't have to say. I know exactly what he means. You know, we're on the same wavelength with a lot of things just through that familiarity.
That brings up a pivot here for a second, but it brings up something that we had Dan Lanning on, I think, last spring. And he referenced that he's got, I think it's a notebook and is on his phone, or maybe it's a physical notebook of just ideas, coaches he's liked to work with either at his current place or down the road when he got this job. Have you seen that? And have you guys worked together of just building out that coaching list? Because it seems like you guys have a pretty detailed path of finding these, you know, new coaches to come in, or either as an assistant or as an analyst.
Yeah. I have not seen that list personally, but, you know, I always knew that, like, hey, I saw it in Dan for a long time since, you know, I've been with Coach Lanning since we were GAs together when he was at his first position job at Memphis. You know, when he went to Georgia and see that growth, I just knew that I always had to kind of be close to him because I saw it with him. And, you know, I know the type of man that he is. I know the type of coach that he is. I know the type of family man that he is as well. And I've just valued him so much. So really thankful to be here with him. But when it comes to, you know, people that we both know in this profession, I think, you know, we both kind of know what are the attributes that we would both look for. And, you know, it kind of goes back to us just somewhat being cut from the same cloth with our coaching profession.
Recruiting is always a hot topic. For you specifically, when you're recruiting your position, what are the traits that you're looking for that got to pop, whether it's on the field or also off the field? That's just sometimes equally as important.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. You know, when it comes to linebackers, I mean, we want fast linebackers at Oregon. Okay. You know, the linebackers in today's football, you know, they're not the Ray Lewis 250 players anymore. You know, they have to be extremely athletic. They have to have a lot of pop low and explosiveness if they are undersized, you know, comparative to like the old linebacker. So just looking for that size, that speed, that explosiveness out of linebackers. But I think just a real big thing, and probably, you know, 50% more of it, is their mindset. And you know, how they communicate, you know, how they love football. You know, are they that football junkie that's wanting to, you know, find new techniques, understand the game better? I just feel like in recruiting, if I can create that connection with a player because we're on that same wavelength of, you know, what it takes to be a great football player, then they're going to be successful when they come here. And it's that relationship that we build up in recruiting that makes us a great partnership when they are a Duck.
Dan clearly has a lot of pride in developing the game and growing the game, but doing that through coaches and kind of mentoring young coaches. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show several times, and I've said it kind of feels like almost like an incubator for young coaches to grow and grow together. Does it feel that way? And I guess what's it like to be on a staff where, you know, a lot of them are kind of your peers age-wise and experience-wise, and it kind of seems like everybody's kind of growing collectively?
Yeah. Well, it's really exciting to me to, you know, come to work with the staff that we have. It's just an unbelievable, lively staff, a lot of energy. And, you know, we're all like, trust me, you know, Coach Lanning has handpicked this staff, you know, for everyone's, you know, strengths. We're all different. You know, we all bring different strengths to the table, and we lean on each other really well. It's, you know, I really do feel like it's the best staff that I've been on in my career. It's exciting that, you know, Coach Lanning sees the potential with younger coaches, and it obviously it creates incentives for guys to, hey, if they perform well, you know, they have a chance to get promoted. And I think that just kind of helps the gears turn here too.
You've had some true freshmen show up early for spring ball. What's that process like of getting a guy who traditionally is preparing for his senior prom, but now is going through, you know, the transition of college academics on top of college football practices and the weight training and time commitments? What's that like process like of getting guys adjusted on the fly with so many things going on right now?
Yeah, well, it's definitely an advantage to have these young freshmen come in early, because, I mean, you say they're getting adjusted on the fly, but if they come in during the summer, that speeds up even faster for them. They're hitting academics while they're, you know, starting their first football season, or they're in their first fall camp. So getting the, you know, two young freshmen that we have here now acclimated with their academics in January, you know, get them for walkthroughs in February before spring ball, so they start learning the defense, and then, you know, kind of come out in spring practice and know that they can get developed in spring practice so that they can hit summer and fall camp in stride. it's, you know, it's a huge advantage for them. And it's actually, you know, it streamlines better for them going into the first year than if they were to come during the summer. But yeah, that it's all about getting these guys started on the right foot. You know, these guys are up in my office before the first team meeting. All the young linebackers come up, and it's kind of open office hours for me to answer any questions, you know, to walk through, you know, watch their last walkthrough reps, kind of hit all the details with them. But they're picking up the stuff very well, and I'm really impressed with how the development's coming along.
Kind of sticking with the development theme, just we always hear from coaches how, like, spring football is where really the skill sets can develop the fastest, because you're not preparing for games. You got scrimmages tomorrow and a spring game on next Saturday, but they're against yourself. What are the areas of focus you're working on right now with your linebackers? Is it just the simple 1% better every day, or are there things that you're preparing for? Because it's a new conference that you're going to play this season in the Big Ten. And just what's that process like for you guys from a skill development in spring right now?
Sure. Well, it's all the things that are important to us at linebacker. We have three linebacker musts. The first one is to get our defense aligned and adjusted, because we are the quarterback of the defense. So getting the front lined up properly, being on the same page with the back end, that all runs through the linebackers. So teaching, you know, and emphasizing that communication is something that we're really emphasizing. Our second must is being dominant in our run and pass fits. So that's somewhat broad, but that's, you know, being dominant in your run fits and being dominant in your pass coverage and your pass responsibility. And so focusing on those techniques and those fundamentals. And then our third must is affecting the quarterback. We're going to send a lot of pressures with our linebackers. So, you know, what is their pass rush technique? Do they understand the protection? It's a big part is just the knowledge for the guys of how it all functions together. If they have that knowledge, they'll play faster too. So, but one thing that I really focus on as a coach is in terms of development and everyone taking 1% growth every day, is you have to be individualized to each player. You have to understand, you know, where Jeff Bossett, you know, a vet can get better, and then you have to understand where Burton Platt, a freshman, can get better. And the way that I've done that for a number of years now in my coaching is I go around to each one of these players at the beginning of practice during stretch, and I ask them, you know, what is your point of improvement today? What do you want to do today? And they tell me where they want to grow. Because I think a lot of times in coaching, right, you give them the feedback, but sometimes asking someone, hey, where do you want to get better?
Right.
Well, that empowers them to, you know, focus on it that day and to take those steps. And I've actually really seen, since I've done that in coaching, unbelievable development with players, and it really empowers them and encourages them when they follow through with the things that they said they want to do, as opposed to what you tell them always what they should do.
Coach, I'm curious, because you've worked with some really talented players throughout your career, and it's probably a more extensive career than, again, people would think with somebody your age. Because as you mentioned earlier on here, you've been in a bunch of different places, a bunch of different roles. Like, can you put into perspective just how good both Jeff and Justin are, and kind of the ceiling you see for those two players? And you can speak to the whole room as a whole if you'd like, but just I know Oregon fans are really excited about those two players. Can you kind of speak just kind of what they can be?
Yeah, well, you know, I got asked about the ceiling with them, and I don't think I want to cap out their potential at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just can keep going up and up. But I mean, they're both incredibly talented. They're fast. They're physical. Jeff Bossett communicates at just such an elite level, better than any player that I've ever been around in my football career. Is truly like a coach on the field. And then Justin is in the second year of the defense, so that communication has gotten so much better and grown so much, and his understanding has gotten so much better. But he's he's big, he's physical, and yeah, those guys have a ton of ability that we're looking to maximize this next season.
And I just want to ask you, kind of wrapping up your personal end of the story here, because I know Matt has one more on a recently passed rules that you I'm sure have a guess of what we might be asking you about. But just being at Oregon now for a couple of years, and obviously you've been everywhere. What kind of your expectations when you're coming out here about what this place would be, and maybe what's surprised you about just doing it for a couple of years now?
Expectations about Oregon?
Yeah.
I mean, this was my fourth Pac-12 school that I've coached at. You know, obviously now we're in the Big Ten, but so I've seen a lot of Oregon from the outside looking in. And I just knew that, okay, you know, they have the resources and they have the facilities and the uniforms, right? But when I came in here, and it didn't really surprise me knowing Coach Lanning, but the substance that, you know, we back it up with the process that we have all that stuff that Oregon is always known for from the outside, you know, the facilities, the resources, the uniforms. Okay. But we have unbelievable mentors. We have unbelievable teachers. We have an unbelievable process, unbelievable coaching staff, schematics, obviously players, personnel. So we're just checking all the boxes for me. Honestly, it's a blessing to be here at Oregon with Coach Lanning and during this tenure of Oregon football.
Coach, we'll get you out of here with this one. I think today even it got announced that the mics can be in the helmets now for the 2024 football season. Linebackers, that's your group. They're probably going to have the green dot. I guess just what's your thoughts on that addition? How does it help you as a coach? How does it help the team? And just what that process going to be like, you think?
Yeah, well, we've been working with the mics and the linebackers' helmets this spring, so it's been great to add that to our process. The mic will shut off after 15 seconds, so it allows you to basically get the call in to the linebacker so that he can communicate it. And, you know, why does this exist? Because just, trying to keep the signals a little bit, you know, closer to the vest. But it goes back to, has it changed anything for us? Not really, because I kind of go back to our number one must of the linebacker room is to get our defense aligned and adjusted and for all of us to be on the same page. The linebackers have already been echoing out the call, have already been the green dot before there was a green dot. Right. NFL scouts always like to ask with linebackers in college, so is he the green dot for you? And we didn't have the green dot. They just meant to say, like, is he the communicator? Is he the guy that gets everything lined up? And you can't play linebacker at Oregon if you can't do that. So all of our guys have that ability. Doesn't matter who has the headset. And we revolve the headset around the linebackers so that they all get experience of hearing Coach Tosh echo the call and then spit it out to the defense. So it's improved a little bit of that communication because it's taking out the signal and getting it right to the linebacker, and then Coach Tosh can even throw a little reminder in there for him. Mm-hmm. If this, then this. But we definitely have to get used to the 15 seconds that it's actually going to be live. Because right now we can talk to them all the way up to the snap. There's no cutoff, which I think some of the guys, like, hey, you just want them to lock in on the keys and play, you know. So,
right.
But it's been a fun kind of new process for us to add in, for sure.
You kind of answered the question, but I just wanted to dive into a little bit more, but is there, so every player for you will have one, is that, or the ability to use it, or do you specifically target one or, you know, a handful of your linebackers to be the guy, or is that something that you just expect every linebacker to be able to do?
Yeah, I don't know the rule exactly of how many can actually be in the game. I think there's going to be two.
Sure.
But I mean, you have to make sure that everyone's ready for that level of communication. So, and there's a little bit of a communication protocol that we're talking about how, you know, who do we tell next and how are we telling our buddy across the defense. But yeah, they all got to be ready because one day, you know, hopefully they're the guy.
Yep.
If they're in the wings, I'm just trying to develop as many starters in the linebacker room as possible. And
yeah,
it, you know, then let it work out from there.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate your time coming on. Good luck on Saturday's scrimmage, and we're excited to see the team in public setting on Saturday, April 27th.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Coach.
All right, now.